So I want to start off today's episode by repeating something I know I've said in the past. I know it's something that it's important to me, and it's often the reason that people kind of shy away from some of my perspectives. Fuck spirituality. And I mean that wholeheartedly. And it's just because at the end of the day, spirituality is just a bunch of words and concepts that promise to take you closer to the truth, to reality, to God, to source, whatever it is you want to believe. And in the very act of you committing to that path, to those concepts, to the need to understand, you remove yourself from the very thing you're trying to get to, which is the source, you, here and now, as existence. And so the path of spirituality is kind of like our last stitch effort to hold on to a path as we get closer and closer to reality. And then we call it spirituality, implying it's kind of reality plus. But it's still just an exercise in being what is. And that's the freedom. So I just wanted to reiterate that. I understand it feels really good, but listen to yourself when you are going through the phase of spirituality. Ask yourself if you're actually being your genuine self or if you're changing your tone to sound more appropriate to the path you think you're on. Because that's often what happens, and you can hear it when it's happening. It's sad, too, because there are creators that I will listen to, and I know their heart is in it. I know what they're trying to do is coming from a good intention. They want to bring people together. They want to resonate with people. They want to empathize with people. They want to reach into your soul and wake you up. And so they play this part. And it's because they don't think they could do it otherwise. And so they take the spiritual path to connect to spiritual people, because all of that is very comfortable and yet incredibly divisive when you look at it for what it is. The truest spirituality is none. The truest path is none. The only thing that you ever really need to know, you already know. Just stop doubting it, pay attention, and the rest plays out. The path of spirituality is a path that goes in circles, and it is a pleasant path. There are beautiful scenes along the path, beautiful words, beautiful poetry, beautiful insights even. But once you attach to those paths, they become poison. And so it becomes really about recognizing that you are the source of your experience. And if it's you, then you can take from any path without following any path. Because it's always going to come back to here and now as you.
Because as long as there's some sort of path, like it plays into the measurement of everything, everything that we do. Like as soon as there's a right way, there's a fuckload of wrong ways. Everything that isn't the right way is the wrong way. And so there's almost, because like, it's nice we're talking about this, because I've absolutely been that person in a lot of ways that wanted it to be, just like wanted it to be something outside of just being myself. Like, there's got to be some path out there. There's got to be some right answer. Like, someone, please God, someone tell me what I should do. Tell me the next step. Tell me the right thing to do. And it's all this looking around. It's like sitting in reality, completely unknown, totally uncertain about what anything's ever going to mean, about you, what the next best step is to make, what the next best thing is to do, what the best thing to do right now is, what the right thing, the right way to respond. And a lot of times we'll come up with just habitual ways of responding that are safe and they're comfortable and they're little go-tos. You know, when you're not quite sure and you don't want to really express that you're not quite sure, you just grab for those. It's like a little grab bag that you keep in your back pocket. You're like, well, this won't get me into too much trouble. This won't send things too much awry. This will at least keep things safe and subdued and numb in a lot of ways, because it's like a perspective that feels good because it's not like you're saying anything wrong, but it has nothing to fucking do with anything you say and everything to do with what you are and what you do and the decisions that you make and the actions that you take. And it has nothing to do with the words, nothing to do with the words. And I have spent so long in my entire, pretty much all of my social media is a whole sort of, I don't even know what word, plethora of things, of expressions of me. And again, even just posting on social media, you know, that was a jump in and of itself. But so it's not to say that, you know, I was sharing from a spot of like, I wanted to get something out of it for myself, but it turned into that, like with anything, you know, it's like anything. And this just plays into this, that there's no right way, no correct way, is anything has the potential to be something that you're genuinely doing for the sake of doing it, or something to help yourself feel better, feel good about yourself. You know, like, I've been playing a lot of video games recently. I did not expect to learn so many things from video games, and how much, like, because we're streaming them on Twitch and everyone can see my screen. We're playing StarCraft 2. Shout out anyone who listens to this after, anyone listening right now. You got StarCraft 2. Check out our Twitch, Duelist Unity Twitch. You can subscribe. My bio, we're going to be streaming all the time because there's something there that I did not realize with games. So this is a strategy game. You build complexes, you make attacks, and there's no right way to do it. It's just you and maybe a friend, maybe a couple friends versus a couple enemies. So it's just who wins, you know, who attacks the other one, who kills all the other players first. So there isn't a right way. Like, there's no possible way to be like, all right, just follow these directions and you're going to win. It takes sensitivity. It takes adaptation. It takes faith in yourself to just make a decision, adapt, shift, move, grow, change. And the whole time we're streaming we're showing our screens, which I kind of just realized today. I'm like, oh shit, everyone can see me like choosing between certain things, choosing between which thing to do or not choosing, or just like kind of aimlessly moving around the screen being like, shit, what should I do now? What should I do now? And how quickly it turns into just a decision and adapt and decision and adapt and decision and adapt. And so that's the cool side of it. So if you want to see basically inside of our minds, watch a stream, because that's what a lot of it is an expression of. And it's not like, because we can talk during it, we shoot the shit, we say things, you know, have a good time while we're playing, but you're seeing so much more than you're hearing, and you're being shown so much more than I ever realized. And that's hitting me in all the ways, how much I've always been just showing myself. And at this point, it's really starting to be like, fuck it. Might as well just be myself and not expect myself to be different or something else or anything ever, no matter what's going on. Because if there's no right way, there's no wrong way. And then the way you're doing it, you might as well, for fucking everyone's sake, just relax and be yourself, because that's the best thing you can do for anyone who's caught up in not. Because it'll either make them uncomfortable or they'll scratch their head and be like, oh shit, maybe that is an option. Maybe that is something that I can do. But again, not for anyone else, just because that's my experience. That's my fucking experience right now, whatever I am.
And that's it, though. Like, it comes down to the same thing that you've applied before in your life without recognizing it. And baseball, obviously, is the first thing that screams to my mind, because it's not like people didn't watch you play ball. And it's not like you weren't aware of them watching you. But then you would have to eventually just go, right, but everything I'm worried about them seeing is really stuff I'm just worried about. Right? So I got to focus on my own shit. Right? And the same is true with everybody watching us game. You assume they're seeing inside your mind. They're just watching you click all over the fucking screen. Unless they're really watching, they're not noticing the hesitations. They're not noticing, you know, half the time people aren't even paying that much attention because they're thinking about their own shit. Right? But we go, oh, they're looking at what I'm doing right now. And it's really just you that's really looking at what you're doing right now. Right? And you're projecting it onto quote unquote reality and other people. And so it's the very same lesson, but it's something that only comes down to just stop, slow down. If you didn't need anything right now, what would your action be? Not what would your next reaction be, but what would your next action be? If you didn't need people's approval, if you didn't need to be liked, if you didn't need to get somewhere, if you didn't need to be more, if you didn't need any of that, what would be the next thing you would do? And it's whatever's right in front of you. It's the next thing you're doing, but without any of that other crap, because all of that comes from that habitual need, that need to think of yourself relative to others, relative to a separate reality that is obviously perceiving you in a certain way. And it just happens to be the way that you're perceiving you. It's always just such a fun loop, isn't it?
Oh, the most fun. The most fun. Holy shit, dude. Like, because there can be times in your life where you realize, like, oh, I've been holding on to a bit of a story. And I didn't realize how many times that's happened. And then I've, you know, let go or realized something else or done something else or acted differently. And how it's kind of like always happening at the same time, and you just don't know what the ripple is, but you can see you start seeing other perspectives that are like less, let's just say, less comfortable than maybe other ones that you've had in the past, or even like some that are maybe more comfortable than ones that you've had in the past. Because as much as, you know, you try and maintain a certain perspective, it's like there's still all the other ones under the surface. There's still the reason that you're holding on to that perspective, but like you don't even know. You don't even know, because as I'm saying, like seeing inside of my mind with the game, like people know, because I've watched games before, and like if I don't know the game, I'm just seeing someone click around and play and do something, and like, holy shit. So I don't even know, because I could interact with someone and they could express certain things or could have a conversation. I see a massive things getting built and destroyed. Yeah, a fucking men jazz. And that's funny. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, shit. Okay, so maybe scratch that one a little bit, but yeah, now hold on, where was I going with that? It's just fascinating how much we don't even know what, yeah, no, it's gone. And I'm getting like, even just that, because it's like, you can think that whatever you were going to say was, you know, the right thing to say, the right thing to do, and then it's like gone. It's like, okay, let it go, leave it. Because, but yeah, the game has been just showing me a lot about myself. So it really is just showing me about myself. And I'm just paying more attention, noticing my own tendencies. And so it's like, it can be seen, but it's also, if someone's focused on themselves, and I assume that I'm taking certain actions, they may not even be paying any attention at all to what I'm doing if they're doing the same exact thing. I'm like, oh, fuck. Because I've been having insights, you know, recognitions about myself and just being more and more self-honest about things. But none of them have, it's not like all these things are hitting me about someone else too. You know, like someone who may be going through the same sort of stuff. Like there's not even, oh my God. Oh goodness. So it's like everyone's kind of going through. And so of course there's the crossover and experience. Of course we're going through similar things all the time, because it's like we're existing to some degree in the same environment. It's just there's variations of the environment, but like at a root there is a common root to all of this. And so there's going to be lots of crossover and experience. It's just, you know, how close are you crossed over, but it's the same root.
And what is that root? And I was trying to verbalize it and can, like, find a way to make it into like something that could be communicated. It's just existence. It's just being the observer. The observer, that's the root. The complexity of the observer changes, but the observer is the root of all experience. It's everything. All of us experience division from reality. Every living thing experiences division from reality on some level or another. And it's because of the immediate duality of the observer and the observed. That is the crux of experience. Without that split, there is no experience, because there's no experiencer. And so that's the root.
Okay. Admittedly, which is something that I haven't even wanted to say, like, I don't know if I have an immediate response to that. And again, it's funny how quick I'll like go to that and be like, I don't know if I have anything to respond about that, instead of just like sitting with it for a sec and being like, that's a very habitual, familiar story that I don't know if I have.
Well, let's fill in the gaps. So what is the division, or what does the perceived division between observer and observed create? Creates a sense of loneliness, it creates fear, creates a sense of the unknown. Because if there's a division, now there is the unknown. Without division, there's just you. There is no such thing as the unknown. So the perceived division between observer and observed creates the emotional spectrum. It creates fear, it creates conflict, it creates the perception of others. All of these things are basically universal to every form of life. Emotions being more complex down the road. I don't know if cells experience emotions, but we do know that cells will act to preserve themselves, that they have some intelligence in terms of self-preservation and some function within the body or within their environment. So there's always this perception of observed, observer. And the observer is going to do its best to exist within the observed. But that's the point, is that the perception of being within rather than being the observed changes the entire thing. It creates experience. And in that spectrum of experience is the duality of experience. Loneliness and aloneness, sadness and joy, fear, anger, all of that stuff goes within that spectrum. It's all part of the relationship with something that is other, something that is divided. Now, this is why we've talked about the emotional spectrum changing as you let go of the perspective of division, because what are you afraid of? Yourself. Fear starts to dissipate with the perspective of division. But it will never go away. This is the experience of division.
And so as you're growing up in that, you kind of adapt to the environment at hand. But it's like, how much do you realize how much of what you are, what you focus on, what you do, what you like, how you live is stemming from an environment? Like, is being adapted to a given environment based on a route, based on a focus. It's like that adaptation isn't you, like it is and it isn't, but recognizing even that there was an environment that you did exist within, and you did, that is how you learned to experience, how you learned to be experienced, thinking that there was a right way to do it. And so even in realizing that, you know, you don't know if there's a right way or a correct way, and like there isn't anyone to tell you what that is, there are people out there who will, and they'll try to, solely to validate their own perspective of there being a right way. It's like the only reason anyone's going to tell you what they think you should do, how they think you should live your life, is to validate their perspective. And that's anyone telling anyone anything, just about, is like for me to maintain my perspective that there's a right and a wrong way to live life, as opposed to even just being willing to question that. Like, maybe there isn't a right and a wrong, because then you're left with what is, what's happening. And like a right and a wrong, it's going to distract you from what's actually happening, because then it's just about maintaining the right thing, acting the right way, acting, which turns into the safe way, you know, the comfortable way, or always trying to be fucking perfect all the time. Because if being, you know, if never making a mistake is a component of the right way, you're going to become very, very fucking soft and brittle and afraid and worried all the time, just because you think there is, and that'll keep you from, you know, gaining context, doing more things, like with the video game, you know, like you've played hundreds and hundreds of hours of that game, and I haven't. So like, why the fuck would I compare how I'm doing to how you're doing? And like, the only reason you got to that point isn't because you kept asking someone how to play, you know, what was the right way to play? What's the right way to play? You just played a bunch and paid attention and took in, and as you're paying attention, you take in more and more considerations. And like, oh, the video game thing, like, and just how much crossover there is with life is, yeah, absolutely blowing my mind. But it isn't deemed, because like, even in the video game conversation, now people are coming around being like, oh, maybe there's some benefit because you can make money from it now. And it's like, no, there's benefit if you don't make any money from it. You will learn a shitload about yourself playing a strategy game and sticking with it, not to become the best person at it, but just to notice some things in yourself, some tendencies, some frustrations come up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the whole point. You're living your life. But understanding there's no right way is also what leads to being more creative. It's funny, somebody left a comment to one of your videos the other day about there not being a right way. And they're like, well, obviously that's wrong. You know, if I want to cool something off, I stick it in the fridge and not the stove. So obviously there's a right way. And I thought that was an interesting comment, because it kind of disregards how refrigerators came to be. Because at one point somebody would have said, yeah, well, the right way is just to put it in some blocks of ice, which we used to take from like mountains and stuff, or in the, or lakes that were up high, and drag them down and put them in an ice box. That would have been the right way at one point. And it was that somebody had the audacity to question that the refrigerator was born. The right way implies that's the only way. And that's incorrect. It's not to say that there aren't another, like a bunch of ways that won't work at all. Obviously, that's the case. But what we're saying is that there are ways that will and ways that won't. That doesn't make them right and wrong. That makes them effective or not. The right way means something about you. That's the danger. Right? Because then all of your value goes into doing it that way. And it's the reason that people hesitate to move away from certain technologies or move away from certain industries or move away from certain jobs, right? It's because they spent so long telling themselves that was the right path. That was the right path. Now all of a sudden they're on another path. They're like, I don't know if that's the right path. It's like, right, because there never was one. And the fact that you believed in it is what's causing all of your resistance and fear.
Because you keep thinking that, no, there's got to be, it's got to be, it's got to be something. It's got to be something. There's got to be some right thing to do or say or way of, even just way of doing anything as opposed to being the expression of that. It's like there's a inversion almost. And you go from looking for the right way and trying to find, like, just looking everywhere. It's like, there's got to be something. I'll listen to this person, check this person out, become this type of, you know, believe in this thing, believe in that thing, follow this, follow that. And it's all, you know, external. It's all outside of, you know, wait a second. What do you think? What do you want to do? What do you think is the best call for this? Like, well, I don't know. Someone else has made this call before and they got this result to this result to this result to this result, but you don't know all the ripples that were made. And real quick, shout out to California Mini Retreat. Going to be a blast. April 11th to 15th. Check it out. There's still 3 tickets left right now. So yeah, I believe most of them are twin beds. So they're a reasonable price, as reasonable as we can make it. And that Patreon tier 3 discount gives you $350 off. So definitely take advantage of that if you're thinking about it. It's going to be a blast. I'm very excited. Very excited. Having more fun with things in general and just with life and myself, you know, in more ways than one. But just having fun, like realizing that I can be myself, whatever that means. And like, and still, even as you start, you know, being yourself, there's then the thought that there's a right way to do that. And maybe that's what I'm...
Or that you're ever not being.
Or that it even fucking means anything. It doesn't mean anything. There's nothing separate from what you're doing. Shit. Oh,
I'm,
man,
just being myself, pretending I'm not being myself.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. Holy Christ. We're always being ourselves. Oh, so there's nothing else to...
Oof, lack of journey. Suddenly we're back here again. What do you want to do with your time?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. And I've just started thinking about that for myself.
Oddly enough, I think that's part of what we avoid, you know, is that question. If all of a sudden we were just, you know, found ourselves in our life, without anybody telling us where to go and no commitments from the past. You say a lot, that's it. It's like, imagine everything that you ever thought you should do in your life, you just let go of. And you were just left here now with all of the skills and all the useful tools that you've picked up, but no sense of where you should go. What would you like to do? And most of us never want to look at that. It's, again, it's the reason that we have such a hard time switching paths. It's because we get really connected to the idea of a path. And the only thing that's changed in my life is the recognition that all of the paths I thought I was going to be on either changed or weren't what I thought they were. And so it really kind of brings into question the entire idea of the path. Because as far as I know, I've never actually been on one. I've only ever been on the step. The path almost seems like the only way I can rationalize what my life is. No, there was a before and I'm going somewhere. So if I came from somewhere and I'm going somewhere, then maybe I can dictate where I'm going. Maybe I have some control over where I'm going. Maybe where I want to go is better for me. And there's this entire thing that happens simply because I'm not focused on the step I'm on. But then I get so caught up in the path, in the tunnel vision towards the future, that I start stepping on people and bumping into them and hurting myself because I'm not actually focused on the step I'm on. And it's all just because that fucking path. And this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the episode. You know, it's the reason that spirituality gets in its own way. It becomes a path. It becomes another journey of concepts. It becomes another language. It becomes another environment you have to get used to. And the environment teaches you what? To let go of the environment. Just skip the middleman. Just skip the middleman. You know, take that spiritual book, toss it right out the fucking window. You know, and I mean that only if you're attached to it. Otherwise, it's just a book. Nobody gives a shit. But if you're attached to it, if you're like reaching for answers, if you think there's some wisdom in that book that's not already inside you, get rid of it. Because having that book will always enable that doubt. You're never going to find out if you can reach for it, right? Why are you afraid to find out?
That's a fantastic question. Yeah. Oh man. And even like, yeah, we're always expressing, and that's the funniest thing. We're always expressing ourselves. We're always showing ourselves to ourselves. And it's just like whether or not someone's even paying attention to that. And it's like you're showing yourself to everyone, everyone's showing themselves to you. It's like they kind of go. There's like a crossover between how much you're noticing in yourself and how much you're noticing in the world, in your environment, in other people, and just how you can't hide as much as you think that you can. You can't. You're always showing yourself. And again, it's like with focusing on yourself, for example, that goes almost hand in hand with assuming someone else is looking at you too, in some way that's definitely the way. Oh my God. Cause like I was saying before, maybe not seeing myself in the same way that I have previously, which is different than I had seen myself in the way previously, which is different than the way I saw myself previously. And there's almost like, oh my God, in trying to like settle on one of them, I'm trying to like create, like part of me is like trying to create new ones almost just to grasp like, no, there's got to be one that's correct. So trying to like, oh my God, even just like express certain things to reinforce that I'm doing a certain thing or being a certain thing or am a certain thing or am a certain way or do have, you know, and I am someone who does this. I am someone who has this fear. I am someone who has this hesitation, thinking that there is, again, a series of things that explain me. And every single time I'm just expressing myself and how I see myself. And that's what everyone's doing. The exposed nerve sort of feeling, starting to get a sense for that. Not even because anything's changed. It's more so just because I'm realizing how much everyone's always an exposed nerve, which absolutely includes myself.
Yeah, everyone. That's why I come across as abrasive sometimes, because what I'm saying is, hey, that's what you're showing us. And what they're saying is, no, I'm not. It's what it is. You know, like there's been a number of people who've been like, you know, you never admit you're wrong, Ray. Yeah, I do. Absolutely. It's one of the reasons I don't defend myself when they say that. Isn't that funny? Because they're like, yeah, you never admit to being wrong. And I'd be like, yes, I do. Fuck you. I don't need to say that shit to you. I know myself. You know, that's the whole point. You know, but they are defending something that they doubt, something they're telling themselves, something that they need to hold on to more often than not, right? And that's why they're unfortunately attacking you the way they do. That's why people don't come up and talk to you and say that you're full of shit and that you're harming other people if they're actually coming from a place of clarity. Like, they really don't. They don't just go off on you for no reason. They really don't, man. And this is why, like, all of the comments to a lot of your videos, I'm just like, wow. You don't even see that you're expressing something that you're going through. Like that one comment, fuck, that made me laugh. Oh, you've been going downhill. You don't even comb your hair anymore. You used to have excellent hair. And I just wrote back. I'm like, I can only imagine how much time in a day you spend on your hair. Because that's what they're telling you. They're not telling you anything about that, about you. They're telling you something about them. They're not saying your hair is a mess. They're saying mine's never right. That mine's important. Therefore, yours must be important. Oh, you're falling apart. Again, there's your concern. Control, holding on, you know, making sure everybody perceives you like you have a, you're tight control on everything. Wouldn't want to be seen like, you know, you're just willy-nilly going through life. That's all they're expressing to you, is how they judge themselves. Because nobody knows you. Nobody knows you. Nobody knows me. We don't even know each other. We can't. Right? There's too much. There's too much, man. From the moment of our birth to the moment that we're at right fucking now has been an infinite fucking eternity of shit. I can't even take it all in. How can somebody else? But I can take in the root, which is being the observer. And that's where we can empathize. That's where we relate. That's where the connection is. We can't ever know each other in the conceptual way because everybody has the same ability to do fucking anything. To convince yourself that you know someone is to convince yourself this is all they're ever going to be. What a terrible thing to do to someone. Right? But at the same time, you're doing it because that's what you want to do to yourself. You want to be a good person. Therefore, this person's got to be a good person. What does that even mean? You know, does that mean they're not going to take care of themselves? Sometimes maybe, though it may hurt you, depends on the circumstances. And to not allow them that is to really, you know, limit their options in life. And you wouldn't want them to do that to you. It's all a wonderful circular paradox, isn't it? You can't ever know me, but you can know yourself, and that is me.
And how well do you know yourself? How willing are you to look at yourself and express yourself? And like, what the fuck are we hiding? Like thinking that we're hiding things when it can just turn into just so much tension that then's expressed in different ways, shapes, and forms, you know? Like, oh my God. Because someone, like, with the hair comment, for example, like, someone can't, like, not everyone sees this, notices the same things. You only notice things that you notice in yourself. You judge things that you judge yourself for. You point things out. You think someone should be doing something differently just because you would assume that you should be doing that thing differently. Oh, man.
We have a follow-up question. I know we've got about 5 minutes left. Can we ever really know ourselves, though? It's what you're doing when you're not thinking about it. It's not knowing in the conceptual way. It's knowing in the same way that you know you're holding a coffee cup. If you're holding a coffee cup, you're not like, I know this because I've memorized the concept that I'm holding a coffee cup. You can feel it. That's how you know yourself. Feel yourself. Be yourself. That is knowing yourself. Not knowing in the memorized concept sense, but knowing in the current present sensitivity sense. That kind of knowing. In the same way that you know someone loves you. It's not a concept, because that's just an infatuation, the idea of love, but the feeling of love is something very different. Right? It's the feeling of acceptance without precondition. And that's just something that you can feel. Because if you're looking for the concept, there's the precondition. There's your idea. There's the, you know, what love is, so on and so forth. And it's not about the feeling or the sensitivity at all. Right. So know yourself doesn't mean know yourself as in know the chapter and title of a book. Right? It's a current knowing in the same way that you know yourself as you are driving a car, walking down the street, you know, sitting by yourself. That's it. It's just when you're like, who am I? That you've created the question and the journey. And you've left the point where you were just being it.
And that's like not necessarily a comfortable thing to do. And that's why, despite not being able to hide yourself, people don't want to express themselves or assume that, you know, they can even know themselves, because you'll pass it off to something. You know, it's something else. Got to be something else. It's like with, you know, getting paranoid or anxious when you smoke weed. It's like, oh, it's the weed doing it. It's like, no, it's in there. It is absolutely in there. Oh my gosh. And that's such an easy one. I've heard throughout my life. I've said throughout my life, like, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that high. What? I don't know what I would do. Couldn't jump into that situation being baked. It's like, all it's doing is showing you yourself. All it's doing is showing you what's in there that you don't want to look at because you assume there's something wrong with it. And then it's like, oh, here it is. You know, see it or keep fucking assuming that it ain't it. Because when you are honest and you do start to realize that you can know yourself, even through paying attention to yourself and your habitual patterns and your tendencies and your focuses and, you know, your priorities and the way that you spend your time. It's like, are you spending your time trying to get somewhere, trying to improve something? Because that's just, you know, digging a deeper hole as you go, kind of like trying to feel good, like taking hits of fucking drug as you're digging yourself deeper into that. But there was never anything to run from, because it was just your assumptions. It was just the things that someone said you couldn't do, or ways that, you know, you shouldn't act or be, or can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. Oh, please stop doing that. Oh, come on, like, tone that down. Blah, 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 blah. And just all these little bits over time, like narrowing your path in the, okay, well, I can't do that. Despite everything having been on the table from the moment of your birth, we've been thrown around, pushed and pulled. And yeah, create habitual sort of tendencies and ideas that, and ways of acting and ways of interacting. And, that become what we think we are and what we do.
And what's amazing about all of that is that we just had a conversation that didn't once touch on belief, didn't once discuss, you know, any specific spiritual path or teacher. And it was the most spiritual thing that we could have done, because we were actually just expressing ourselves and rejoicing that we can, rejoicing at the ability to do so. That is more spiritual than spirituality will ever be. And that's the reason it's so important to let it go. It was made with good intentions, but as soon as it became a path, it ended up working against us. You know, it's just a pleasant way of working against ourselves. It sounds really good while it does so. And you get to feel really good about it while you do so, and compare yourself to everybody else who's not as spiritual, who hasn't found that path that definitely says they're on the right journey, but not that Christianity stuff. I mean, spirituality is obviously not Christianity. It's not obviously not religion, right? Couldn't be. There's not as much dogma. There's not as much belief. There's not as much. Of course there is. Of course there is. There's still a hierarchy. There's still a separation. There's still a belief in something. There's still a sense of control. There's still a sense of, that's the whole point. There's no difference. You're just telling yourself there is because you still want to play the game.
You still want to play the game and keep fucking avoiding yourself, not being honest with yourself. Got to be something else, something to follow. Couldn't be just me, just being responsible and sensitive and actually paying attention to what's going on instead of trying to keep being in control.
Am I talking? Aha. Now I am. Yeah. Exactly. That said, we are going to wrap up here for about 15 minutes, and we're going to continue on roundtable number 31. I'm very excited about this. Anybody, if you'd like to join us for the roundtable, it's for tier 2 and tier 3 Patreon supporters. I will send the email to you within the next 10 minutes. If you don't submit the form before then, I'm sorry. I don't answer the forms during the episode, but we will see you in the Patreon call afterwards. Nonetheless, thank you all for joining us today, and we'll see you in a bit.
Bye, everyone.